Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give all worship, all praise to you. God, you are a deserving God. You're an amazing God. You are a God who can exceed our minds, our thoughts. You love us to the depths. We worship you and we praise you this morning. And Father, as we continue on in this service, Lord, we lift and adore you. And we invite your Holy Spirit into this place. May your word be that double-edged sword this morning that will speak and break through the bone and the marrow of our hearts and lives to apply to what we need to know for this very moment. God, thank you for calling us to a place of reverence before you. And God, we know that you want to continue to speak to us. And so, Father, we open our faith, we open our minds, we open our hearts, and we invite you into the leading of the rest of this service. We give glory and praise to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Good morning. It is good to be home. We get to say that, don't we? Oh, it is an incredible honor to be with you all today and to be home. We made it, Stacy. We made it. So it's been a whirlwind, and we're just so grateful. So thank you for your prayers for us. We have felt it. We have watched it go before. Labor Day weekend, we literally put our house on the market, and within not even 24 hours, I think it was 21, 22, we had an offer. So the only person that walked through the house put in an offer, and they were solid buyers. It's one of those we're kind of going, really? One person? I mean, you kind of go in bracing that you have to have your house all ready all the time for weeks on end, and all of a sudden, it was boom, boom, and that's where there's parts. We just felt the gentle nudge. God's just telling you, okay, get along. I remember texting Tom going, I think this is a God thing, just perhaps. But thank you. I mean, we've felt it at every part, and even today. I mean, there's been the whole range of emotions. Man, just leaving the house that one last time when we were passing off the keys and all the garage remotes to the new owners, and you're just... And then you're hugging your kids. It's been an emotional time, but we know where we're at and where to be. And we are just so excited for this next season of what God has for Calvary, for you, also for us. Know this is two-way, all right? I mean, we're excited for the season of growth that God's going to do in our lives, besides just you as a church and each individual. And so I'm just excited to be able to preach today, because this has really been, this will be a start of a series of messages that are going to be foundational of where we're going to go as a church in this new season together. And in fact, in the last newsletter, I gave you a list of prayer needs, and if you don't mind throwing those up on the screen, listing them out. I hope you've been praying through them. There's one I really want to accentuate, and because there's going to be a part, and it's been neat watching the Holy Spirit move in the services since we were with you last, and just different things that God has spoken. But just know this, when God's Holy Spirit begins to pop in our lives, we can't help but be bold witnesses of it. When we really have the Holy Spirit at work in our life, it will agitate us, not in a negative way. It'll stir us to the point we've got to share something. We've got to be able to share what God is doing inside. And I really pray, we're entering into a fun season. In fact, even as we went through the announcements, I'm sitting there going over things I'd even written in here. We have a great opportunity for witnesses that are just going to be a fun moment in a fun season for us as a church. And I hope we take every advantage that we can. And so pray that God will help you to be bold witnesses. But here's three words I really want you to capture. Pray, invite, bring. Who are you praying for to invite them to come to church with you. And this is on any given week, but we're going to have opportunities now coming up over the next several weeks from now to the end of the year that you're going to have phenomenal opportunities to invite that family member, that coworker, the neighbor. Take advantage of it. I mean, there's so many opportunities coming up next week. Please take advantage of the installation service. And the reason I say that is some points, especially if you've got some people that have been laying out of church and they're without a church home, I encourage you to invite them, because what better part for them to be here on a Sunday when it, in some ways, it's just another way of starting a new season and letting them feel like they're a part of it. And it'll be a phenomenal opportunity. Then you have the women's event. I mean, there's something every week where you could be inviting people to be a part. And so pray for names. Invite them. But then make sure you do the last part of bring. Because it's so easy, I say so easy, you can do the front part, but sometimes the excuse is, well, I didn't have a ride, things came up. And what's amazing is you can have, by taking the intentional step of, what do I need to do to bring them in the door? And some points it might be doing something before you go out and grab coffee before you come to church on a Sunday morning. It doing the little things of doing something together to get them inside the door. So pray, invite, bring. And I get excited when I think of the harvest party at the end of the month, because there's so many little parts. In fact, even as I was processing the harvest party on October 31st, it's a great moment. In fact, what flashed back in my head, normally, in the past season, I would be teaching adolescent ethnography at Evangel University right now. And we were very close. In fact, what's interesting, and this one popped in my head, is right around Halloween, and I never made this connection, Halloween, and where we could do things as a church with Harvest Party, taking advantage of something that's in culture and redeeming it to be useful for God's purpose. And that's really what the part of the Harvest Party is. And normally in my adolescent ethnography class, I'm teaching students how to understand youth culture, and that's the whole fancy academic name, adolescent ethnography, the study of youth culture, is how to understand the culture but then bring the gospel to it. And the Harvest Party allows us to do it. Just Acts 17, we would go through this in the class. Acts 17, when Paul identifies a statue of an unknown God, and he took advantage of a marker that they had forgotten what the God was even about, that statue was erected for. And he goes, I can make that mystery known to you of a true God. And that's really what Harvest Party is all about. And so I encourage you to take advantage, invite family members, invite especially families with kids. This will be a fun opportunity that when we take this moment, getting them on, because here's one thing that is so true. You get young people and students excited about wanting to come to church. Guess who will be coming with them? Mom and Dad. And it'll be an opportunity where they can hear the gospel and get tied into the church and get to know you. And there's just, that's the fun part of the dynamics of pray, invite, bring in the season that we're in. And then, of course, we're getting into the holidays. That's where Christmas at Calvary this year is going to be fun. Because it's going to be additional opportunities of breakthrough where the very message of the holidays, which again, it's an Acts 17 thing. We can take it for granted that Christmas is our holiday. But let's face it, culture has tried to co-opt it to be everything but. That it's all about the toys, it's all about the guy in the red suit. And yet we know what the real holiday is all about. And so we don't step back from it. And God doesn't either. God wants us to be able to step into culture. And one of the fun parts is he will help us redeem it, or he'll help us transform it. Or what's even better is he'll create a new culture. God's all a creative God. And he loves to create a new culture that he will do in some of our evangelism events that will help people come alive to who Jesus is. That wouldn't have happened unless we took efforts in that way. So pray with us over the next several weeks. Let's pray together for those names of people that God will put on your heart. And let's just believe God for the next several months. I mean, that's why I just sit there and I literally get excited. Because it just seems like there's something all the time that's coming. And every Sunday is going to be an opportunity too. But that's where I just encourage you. We're in a fun season. So turn with me in your Bibles, Numbers chapter 6. This has been a series that has been building in our heart, in our faith. Literally, boy, it's not right at our Genesis moment when we knew God was leading us into a new series, but it wasn't far away. Because there's parts, Stacy and I would start talking, well, what would we want to see in the church where God leads us to go? What are some of the key things that we just feel like God has just spoken to us? And this passage, Numbers chapter 6, it brings it to us in full flavor. And so this morning, I just want to, as far as a culture of a church, of where we're going to go, especially when it comes to matters of faith, this passage is huge. It's going to be a major pillar for us. And I pray that you'll look at it and embrace it as we look in Numbers chapter 6. So I entitled the message today, It. Very simple. So when somebody asks, hey, what did Pastor Kent preach on his first Sunday with you? Something about it. So make it very simple. It was something. But the message, why I want to hit it is, there's always little things in life where we just go, that's it. Next month, and it happens to be a Sunday this year, so next month, November 12th, Stacy and I will celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary. And I got the year right? 35. Yeah, I did good. So what's amazing about it, I mean, it's amazing how much time's flying by. And that's also part with the move. It made all of us memory conscious. We're thinking of different seasons, shifts, and you just start thinking of mile markers of life. And so especially when I'm thinking, man, our anniversary is not far off, it made me go down memory lane of just our relationship, and different things. And I can still remember as Stacy and I started dating and things were progressing, I can still remember when her mom and dad and her grandma came up into North Central to visit Stacy, and they introduced themselves. And what's nice is next week you'll get to meet Stacy's parents. They will be here for our installation, and they're bringing some of our fragile items that we just weren't going to trust with the movers. So that was kind of nice. We loaded up their minivan and said, see you in 2 weeks, and you can't use your van the whole back end. But they're great people. But it was that first moment. I remember walking up to the car, they're pulling into this parking lot at North Central University, and Ray gets out of the car. Now, Ray, at this part of his life, I mean, this is 35 years ago, 36 years ago, Ray looked like a biker dude, all right? I mean, he looked rough. In fact, put up a picture of Ray, if you don't mind. So this is a picture of Ray from our wedding. And it was the best one I could find as I got this idea. Because one of the fun parts is, I just knew Stacy was it. There was parts, I can think back to her humor. She's got an incredible sense of humor. But there's so many different aspects, even to when I can look back at all the different girls I had dated before. Stacy embodies so many of the qualities of all of them. It's personified in one person. So I knew she was it. My parents, even when I would talk, I mean, it was been fun talking to my mom and even my dad shortly after we were married. They just knew there was something different about the way I talked about Stacy. And that she was it. And so the big weekend finally came in the spring when I needed to ask Ray's permission to to have Stacy's hand in marriage, all right? So that big moment. But when I first met Ray at North Central, here's what he did to me. He gets out of the car and he goes, "So you're Kent. My name's Bear." All right? So when he's saying, "My name's Bear," I'm staring at him, and you're looking at that dude. In fact, he kind of reminds me, for those of a certain era of life, if you remember Mr. Edwards from Little House on the Prairie, he's kind of got that little bit, yeah. And so Ray, I mean, immediately, I'm just like, there's that awkward, "Okay, hi, Bear." And that lingered for a moment, then Stacy and her mom's yelling at him, "Ray, stop it!" You know, and he just starts to laugh. But it was that first intimidating moment, and I'm telling you, for a while, anytime I looked at Ray, I was intimidated. So even when it came to the weekend, and we had a whole bunch of things set up, we had a dinner set up to celebrate. So the plan was that I would do it right away when we got back to Sioux City for that weekend. Well, I'm chickening out. So we even got to a point where we're doing a family dinner, and I'm sitting next to Ray, and he hands me, like, the rolls, I think it was, and he goes, "Hey, hand this down to your mother-in-law." And then he realizes, "Oh, no, I am so sorry. Kent, I am so..." I mean, now he's all nervous, and we're all cackling around the table because everybody knows this should be a celebratory dinner, but Kent has chickened out of actually asking the question. And so it's that awkward moment, and everyone's kind of... And we get to the end of the weekend, so literally the last night. I still haven't done it because I'm intimidated of Bear. And finally, Stacy makes up an excuse for her mom and her to go to the store. And she just looks at me and she goes, "Get it done." All right. "Get it done." And so they head out, and so I'm sitting there in the living room. Okay, I got to get this done. How do I start this conversation? How do I get this thing going? And finally, I hear the garage door opening of them coming back from the store. And I'm like, "I got to get this done. I got to get this done." Hyperventilating, hyperventilating. "Breathe, Kent, breathe." I hear the door from the garage coming into the house opening up. "Ray, got a question for you." So then, of course, they're staying downstairs in the garage at that point. And so I finally asked, "Ray, could I have the honor, your blessing, to have your daughter's hand in marriage?" And I wasn't sure what to get, but at this point, it's out. Not sure what I was going to get back. But what I got was the Ray that you will meet next week was very, "I would be honored." And it was at that moment, it was just like, and really, I could not ask for better in-laws, Bear parents. I mean, they've been phenomenal supporters, praying for us constantly. And that's where I'm honored that you guys get to meet them. But there's a point, in order to receive the blessing of 35 years, I had to ask for it. And this blessing that you're going to read and that we'll read together in Numbers chapter 6, God wants to bestow to every single one of us in this room. In fact, he wants to bestow this blessing on every single person on the planet. Because it's his very nature, it's his character, it's his love, it's his essence that he wants to bestow and put on. And he wants everybody to have it. He wants everyone to have this loving relationship that will only, and fulfilled relationship that will only happen when we have our relationship with him. Otherwise, we have this God-sized hole that we try to fill with other things. And this is where it drives me to Numbers chapter 6. So look at it with me. Numbers chapter 6, we'll start off in verse 22. And verse 23, "Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing." Now, as Aaron would go to do this, he would take his hands, I can hardly do it with this left hand, and he would form his hands like this. Priests in Israel would do this, and it would actually form one of the Hebrew letters, and sometimes how they would symbolize, just if they were going to symbolize God, it would be with a design similar to this. But he would pray this blessing with his hands like this. And there's a picture of the up on the screen, I believe, of with the hands like this. And so they would speak it out over the crowd. And here is the amazing blessing that we're going to dive into over the next couple weeks. Verses 24 through 27, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. And over the next several weeks, we're going to dig into all the different dimensions, because there's thousands of blessings in the Bible. There are so many blessings. In fact, the Hebrew word for blessing is the most repeated word in the Old Testament. So it should be a reminder to us just how important this is to God, is that, and to his very nature of who he is that he wants to bless you. This isn't insignificant. It goes to the very core of who he is, and it's his love for you. It's his desire for you. And that's why I felt like it was the very first thing that I felt like we should be sharing with you. And when you look throughout the Old Testament, it started off with Adam and Eve. It was his desire, his instinct was to bless them. And it's the last thing that we see Jesus do before he ascends to heaven. The very last thing that Jesus does before his ascension, and if maybe you've never noticed this, but he says it with lifted hands and he blesses them. And as he does so, he ascends. It just should remind us just how much this is about his heart, his character for us. So he set an example that basically it's his last will and testament. It is the blessing that he bestows on his disciples that Jesus does. And if that's what Jesus would do, if that's like one of his last things, how much more should that be for us? That God would do such a work in us that we would be able to bless others, that we would be able to bless our family, that we'd be able to bless our marriage partners. May God help us bless our church. May God help us bless our community and our city. Don't you want to bring a blessing? Amen. Don't you want to be a blessing? And so this morning, as we go over the next several weeks, this morning I really want to hit in on the part of this blessing is the fact of the words that the Lord will bless you. And even when we were here last time, we talked about the qualities of a church that God would bless. That's why they dovetail together here. But we can see it in Scripture. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. God says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others. Notice that correlation. The direct connection. We are blessed to bless. We're not blessed so that God can increase our standard of living. We're blessed so that we could raise our standard of giving. God blesses us so that we can demonstrate his love in action, his love for others. God wants us to have a generous life, and that is our prayer for you. It's our prayer for ourselves. God, help us to be a blessing to others. We can see it in another blessing, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 9. God pronounces a blessing for just good old-fashioned obedience. If you obey me, here's what I will do. And what's so amazing in just this passage alone, and it's very interesting, there's like 9 different dimensions that we're going to read here in a moment, that if you categorize them, different ways that God will help you, from relational to financial, occupational, psychologically, geographically, even political, I think. So let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 9. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all of his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord God will set you high above the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. And so here goes through a list. Verse 3, your towns and fields will be blessed. Your children's and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Goes on, the fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. Boy, isn't that a vivid picture? Where you could have a whole crowd coming and then they're running in every direction. Verse 8, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you. He will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. See, God wants to bless you. He wants to establish a work in you that you don't have to question, that you can always draw on and lean on, even in the toughest moments. The last blessing, I've got this passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Won't dwell on it long, because there will be a day I will preach this passage. It's my favorite passage, blessing passage, outside of this Numbers chapter 6. And it's the prayer of Jabez, verse 9 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was one who prayed to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from trouble and pain." And as he uttered that, here, I love that God adds this in his word, and God granted his request. Just a confirmation. What I love about the Jabez prayer is it's immediately, anytime you talk about blessing, is that we tend to, as a default, think of opting ourselves out of God actually doing that work in me. And you need to know that this is a personal blessing that God wants to do in each one of us. And you can sit there and go, but you don't know my past. You don't know all the junk in my closet. And it's like, you're right. I don't. But he does. And guess what? He still loves you. He is committed to establishing a new work in and through your life because he loves you so much. And that's why I love this passage of Jabez, is it just because when you look at Jabez, it's listed in all these genealogies that goes, the blessing was going from generation to generation. Jabez interrupts that whole rhythm because you don't see anything about Jabez's father. It's all directed back to his prayer that he prayed to God and the faith he trusted in God as he uttered that prayer. And it wasn't a prayer that was from a mountaintop. It was from the very deepest moments of his life. And it's one of those promises that even today, if you're walked in here today and you're at some of the lowest parts of your life, God sees you. He wants to remind you today that if you're in that moment of just, I just need to get through today, God wants to bless you. He wants to do more in your life than what you'd ever ask, think, or imagine. He loves you that to that degree. So bottom line, here is the big deal I want to leave you with this morning. So with all these knowledge of all these different blessings, there is none other like the priestly blessing. It's in a category of its own. So this is where there's no blessing in the Bible that is more personal, and it's this, that the Lord bless you. What I really want you to walk away from this Sunday, and over the next several weeks, we're going to drill down on all the different dimensions of this particular blessing, but I pray you posture yourself in a place to receive it. Would you posture yourself in your heart that you would say, God, do that work in me? Because there's nothing magical about this, all right? There's some parts, this isn't like an incantation. There's nothing. I don't have anything up my sleeve. Really, I don't. There's nothing magical, but there's something very biblical. And when we follow a biblical guideline of what God will do in faith, in trusting him, God will bless. This blessing of God is just the difference of our life. So if I'm going to sum up the blessing to you, it would be this, that the blessing of God is the difference of the best you can do and the best God can do. And that is a huge difference. See, the blessing of God is something that we should be praying for and desiring. Because how many of you would love to have wisdom beyond knowledge? How many of you would love to have power beyond strength? How many of you would want gifting beyond just ability? See, that's what God's blessing will do, is he will help us be better of who we are. It doesn't make us better than anybody else, but I will tell you this, it will make us a better person of ourselves. On our very best day, in our best abilities, we will never attain what we could do, but God will just take what he has already given in us and make it better. He will help us to do better things. See, God's blessing is it. God's blessing is the it that we want. It's the it we long for in our life, because you can't describe it to someone all the time, but it, you know what? It's very special, but you know it when you see it. You know it when you experience it. Each one of you have experienced so many parts. Many of you have experienced the goodness and the graciousness of God. When I look at Calvary, when I'm learning history of this church, what's been so fun is different pastors reaching out, congratulating us since we were voted in. And I can still remember a message I'd gotten from our pastor who was in Waupaca while we were doing Youth Alive here in Wisconsin, Northern Michigan. And he reached out and he goes, Calvary Church has had amazing history for our district. He goes, it's a flagship church in the history of our district. And just those, I'm just telling you, it was just added logs of faith. Because you as a church have an incredible, stellar reputation. And you need to know what God has planned in the future, what he desires. See, then that supersedes anything Stacy and I mean, God's desire is so high, what he wants to do and through this church, in this season, in this community, in these counties. When we begin to realize of what God wants to do, so let me tell you what that it is again. That it is the finger of God. It is the favor of God. Some people will think it's just luck. Man, that church just seems to kind of have luck. It's not luck. It's the blessing of God. It's not anything we've manufactured. It's everything that God does. So what our response needs to be, I mean, when it comes to this, here's some of the great news for this weekend. You don't need to bribe or blackmail God to get this blessing. You don't have to connive. You don't have to protest. You don't have to just bang on it on the floor, because honestly, you can't do it. God just gives it. But what you need is a revelation of who he is as our Heavenly Father, a God who loves to bless his children. I mean, I sit there and think back even just over the last few days when we're saying goodbye to our kids. You know, there's just parts where you just want to keep loving on them, showing favor to them. And that is the way God wants you to know and walk away with this picture this weekend, is that he wants to love on you in a whole new dimension in all of our lives, a new dimension of his presence, a new dimension of his power, a new dimension of who he is, that we will see it on display. May we see miracles take place. If you have a health need, may we believe in faith for miracles of healing, that cancer will be stricken. Alpha-gal will be healed. Different. God is our healing God. Let's believe God for the miraculous. So the good news this weekend is that God will do it if we ask. He will do it if we ask for it. So my question to you is real simple. How blessable are you? Are you blessable to the Lord? He can't bless you beyond the level of your maturity, because you know what? That'll just spoil you. He loves you too much to do that. That he just wants us to come to that part in our life where we just come to honor him, to worship him, that we will just come and no agenda other than to say, God, your agenda. Let me be on your assignment. What will you do in my life? When we come to him in that vein, that allow him to do a unique and special work in our life that is just us. It's our story. Each one of you in each of your life has a unique story that no one else has. God wants to do even more in and through your story. The best of your story has not been written yet. The best of what God wants to do in your life has not been accomplished yet. And it doesn't matter if you're close to 90 or if it's one of the infants in the nursery. Your best days are still ahead until the Lord comes and takes us home. He still wants to accomplish so much more. He wants to do a unique work in your life this morning. If I could have our worship team come back, and I would even love for our prayer team, the anointers, to prepare for ministry this morning. Because no matter what you do, where you go to work, wherever God has placed you, he's placed you there to shift the atmosphere, to bring blessings to the people that you work alongside. So in your neighborhood, God's placed you strategically with neighbors nearby so that you can make a difference. He's placed you there to be really a priest. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, we're all priests. We're all part of a royal priesthood. So just as a Jewish priest would pronounce a blessing, he goes, you know, I recommend that you begin to speak a blessing over your workplace. You begin to basically pray a blessing over your coworkers, over your classmates, the areas, the sphere of influence where God has placed you. So if you're a coach, you're going to be a priest coach. If you're a teacher, guess what? You're a priest teacher. If you're a student, you're a priest student. Wherever God has placed you, whatever sphere of influence, be that person that God will bless so that you can bless them. And this will be foundational every single Sunday, just so you have a drive of when we get to a certain part of the service where we informally dismiss, Stacy and I want to speak this blessing over you as a church, because we want it to be a reminder that as you go from the service of God doesn't actually stop. It just will start to ripple out to the workplaces, to your neighborhood. And there's something about the dynamic of having this blessing specifically spoken over you. I can't even quantify it to be able to describe it to you, other than I know this is even the translation on that last verse 27, where it talks about God writing his name. As we speak his name will be known on us. It literally, so there's some translations that will talk about, and his name is put upon us. And when God's name is put on us, and you see that in scripture, other parts of scripture, the power that actually means. So that when we go into our school students, you're going into a school not on your own power, but with the presence of God with you. When you go into your neighborhoods, the workplaces, wherever God leads you, at Perkins later for lunch, wherever you're going, God's going to put you there where you could be a blessing to others. So would you stand with me this morning? Because we're just scratching the surface of what God wants to speak, and over the next several weeks, we will do that. But I want to invite you to have an extended time of worship, of prayer, and also have a unique part of the service where Stacy and I are speaking this blessing over you. But as you stand, I need to be very clear. How you receive this blessing from God is you need to understand it begins by receiving who Jesus is. It's just more than just a prayer. This isn't a ritualistic thing and it just happens. It starts with you having a relationship with God. Spiritual blessings belongs to us in Christ. So the key is to be in Christ. Is Jesus the number one thing in your life today? And if you need to invite him or rededicate yourself to him, know he is more than excited to meet you. And the different dimensions. And so in a moment, I'll have the worship team play. And I encourage you, if there's a part where you need to rededicate your heart and life to Christ, if I can have the anointers, those who are going to pray, to come up front, we want to invite you to that you could tell them, hey, I need to rededicate myself to him today. Things aren't all where it should be. Maybe you have a prayer need, something that you just want agreement with. Step forward and let them anoint you with oil, and they can pray with you on any physical need, because we have a God that wants to bless. Maybe there's a specific tension point or just a need that you just want agreement and prayer. This is the moment for that, where as a church, we will together agree with one another and just invite God into your situation and have agreement with it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Calvary Church, this wonderful church. God, thank you for the history of faith, nearly 100 years, 96 years strong. And God, we're believing for a great 97th. And Lord, just a special part of what you're going to do in all of our lives. We just commit ourselves to you. With every head bowed, I need to ask this question. If you're here today and you do not know that Jesus is the number one thing in your life, if you are unsure in any degree, and yet you want the blessing of God on your life, and you know it starts there, if you're here today, maybe you need to rededicate yourself to him, or maybe it's for the first time you realized, I've never personally invited him in to be my leader and savior. And if that's you today, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. Thank you. Is there others? Need to rededicate yourself? Thank you. Awesome. I want everybody to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for loving on me. Forgive me of my sin, trying to do life my way. I want to do life your way. I give my life to you. Be my leader and my savior. Do a new work in me. Make me blessable. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, would you do me one favor before you leave here today? Because we're going to go to time of worship, but I really need you to do this for me. If you prayed that prayer, make sure you take a moment to step out of where you're at and have one of our prayer people pray with you. And there's a significance to this. What you do physically will affect you spiritually. So here's the difference. You could walk out of this sanctuary right now, and it'll be, I have good intentions that I am going to live for Jesus. I'm out of here. You can do that. But there's a difference between that and saying, I'm definitely doing this. I'm turning a new page. And so when you put your step to the faith that you just shared in that prayer, and you have an agreement in prayer with one of our prayer partners, it's a new step of things you're breaking. And you'll watch this week after week as we go forward as a church in this new season that we have, because what you do physically will affect you spiritually. Just as much as what you do spiritually affects the physical, here's the moment where physically you can make a new step in a new life. And so whether you raised your hand or not, this is a moment for that. And also as we go to worship, again, also beyond that, if you have a prayer need that we can pray with you, we can agree with you, we want to do that. So would you make your way as we begin to worship? Stacy and I will come back in a moment and we'll speak a prayer blessing upon you. So can we do that today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you, God, for being a God that loves us. And so, God, this morning, as we go into this more time of worship, we just invite your work in our life. Do it, O Lord, we pray, as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Make your way. Let's worship the Lord.